This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action. I'm your co-host, Gordon Smith, and I'd like to introduce you to Bridget Ayers, our other co-host.
Hey, Gordon, this is our first show together, so welcome aboard. Really excited to be with you here.
Thank you. Say, you know, Bridget, there's a lot of ways you can listen to Catholic radio. Do you know that?
There are, actually. I listen in my car, but I also listen on the app. But how are the other ways?
Well, you can listen on by our dial-up service. You can listen on our cell phone app. You can listen on three different stations on West Central Indiana and west side of Indianapolis and all of Hamilton County and the city of Anderson.
And we also stream on the internet.
That's right.
So when I'm working at home sometimes and I'm doing prep, I'll just go to CatholicRadioIndy.org. I'll just press listen now, and it just streams. It's free and just a great way to listen.
And don't forget smart speakers like Alexa. You can pull it up very easily with Alexa.
All right. Well, so there's lots of ways you can listen. And Gordon, thanks for that up to speed and up to date how to listen. We always forget to tell people about that.
Sure.
Well, we've got a great show for you today. We are actually going to be talking about a huge issue facing our nation, and that is substance abuse, and one that frankly has not gotten better throughout the pandemic. But there's still hope for those struggling, and our guest today is Rochelle Gardner. She is the executive director of Hope Academy, helping teens to recover from substance abuse. So welcome, Rochelle. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Well, we did an interview, I don't know, a couple years ago, and we always like to feature people that are really, you know, putting their faith in action, really helping the community with whatever they specialize in. So tell us a little bit about what Hope Academy is and what you actually do there, what you're trying to achieve.
Sure. Well, Hope Academy is a public charter school with a special niche, and the niche is for students that struggle with substance use disorder and academic challenges. And so what we've done, we've been around for, this is our 16th year, and we've created a school that has kind of two platforms. One that focuses traditionally on their academics, so, you know, a Core 40 diploma program. You do the same math and English, social studies, all those classes that you would do at a traditional school. But the special sauce is really we focus on young people who are struggling with substance use disorder and helping them find a journey to abstinence. And what that looks like is different for almost every young person that comes to us. But I have a group of young people that have lived a life of recovery themselves, and they're our recovery coaches, and they work with them on, you know, just the potholes that happen along a normal adolescent's life, and then imagine what it's like when you add substance use disorder into that. And so, you know, they'll work with them on communication with family. They'll work with them on, you know, how to avoid, you know, people, places, and things that are slippery for them, how to deal with their emotions and feelings as you get off drugs and alcohol, and those have been the ways that you've coped, and now how do you cope with that? And so at the same time, the challenges of just going to high school in general. When we take tours with potential students and parents, they have a different viewpoint of what it looks like. And when they get here, they're like, oh, it's like a real school. And we're like, exactly, with just this extra support around you.
Go ahead. Well,
I was going to ask you,
Rochelle, how long have you been with Hope Academy? And maybe talk a little bit about your background and how sure. You got into all this.
Well, so I graduated in 1990 from IU with a psychology degree and started my work at Fairbanks on the adolescent unit, and worked at Fairbanks for 30 years, all the time working with young people. And one of the things that we realized about 17 years ago was that when we looked at what it took for young people to be in recovery, we knew what it looked like for adults, mm-hmm. But we didn't really know what that looked like for young people or how to help young people with that. They spend a lot of time at school. And so looking around the country, found some other recovery schools in some different states, went and looked at those and came back and said, we really need one of these in Indiana. And so I co-founded it with my partners in crime, Dr. Sig Zelke, who was a psychologist, and the leaders at Fairbanks, and created this school just for that purpose, to help young people have a safe place where they could learn, but they could also grow in their social emotional health. I always say I'm doing God's work, because this is not anything that I ever thought I would do when I graduated in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't know much about substance use. Wasn't part of my world. And so over the last 30 some years, it really is a passion of mine, because I believe these kids deserve to have the best pathway possible. And they can't always find it, and their parents can't always find it. And so hope really is that beacon to get them to that high school graduation day, to enter the workforce, whatever it is they want to do. We are that mechanism for them. And it's not something that, parents necessarily knows out there. And so that's kind of how I got involved in it. And, it's been one of my lifelong journeys and a pleasure to be leading. Over 700 kids have come through our school in the last 16 years, and some have made it, some haven't. But it certainly is God's work.
We're talking with Rochelle Gardner. She's the executive director of Hope Academy, which is an adolescent, basically high school for teens that are recovering from substance abuse. I'm curious, tell us where you're located and give us a little bit of an overview of the school. Like, do students, like, are there clubs? I mean,
sure.
Is it kind of otherwise a typical high school?
Sure. So we relocated. We used to be up on the Fairbanks campus up at Community North, and moved July of 20 to a new location, which is at Madison and Hanna, close to the UND campus. We've been here. This is our second year in this location, and it's really been a great place. It's more centralized to the city. We have kids coming from everywhere, Marion County, Hamilton County, Hendricks County, Shelby County, Johnson County. So we have kids, coming all over the 9-county area to our school. So, it's a typical day, except every first period is all about recovery. Mondays and Fridays is a large community circle with the entire school together. Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, they're broken out into classes with their recovery coaches, focusing on those skills that I talked about earlier. And they do it in three different ways. It's the same skill, but one day we're talking about it, one day we're learning about it, and one day we're doing some sort of hands-on, whether it's an art project or it's a skit or it's something that we're taking that knowledge and putting it into practice. And then they go on to school, and then they do their regular classes. What we have built into our school day is student resource time, because they do need some downtime, and that what they deal with on a daily basis is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in an environment where they don't have a lot of resilience, and they don't have a lot of staying power in class, and they get very frustrated easily. And so we try to build things in within our school day and within our school culture that kind of helps them with that. And one of the things is our student resource time. And so we have kids that go to we have a partnership with Anytime Fitness just down the street here with us, and we have kids that go and they work out, or it's nice outside, so right now they're out playing football or basketball or things like that. We have kids that we have a music club, and so kids that are creating music. We have a club for just games, where they just they don't know how to play and be effective and win and lose, and so we have a club like that.
That's awesome.
To do that.
That's awesome. It's like we all need that, like grown-up recess, go
right.
Work out. And you're really teaching people really healthy life skills for, finding joy.
Exactly.
And, stress relief and all that, and just healthy living. It's great.
Yeah, we have what we call a serenity room here,
mm-hmm.
and our kids get, when they find themselves getting frustrated, maybe in class or with another student, they can select to go into the serenity room. And what it is a quiet learning or quiet space where they can listen to music or just relax. Or we have a chalkboard they can draw on. And then they talk to the recovery coach about what got them in there and how, what skills they need or what skills they're going to use to kind of help calm themselves, you know, whatever that situation is. So we have a lot of different ways. We have a therapy dog that's here 3 days a week. A lot of ways that kind of help get them centered, because we want them to stay in class and we want them to get their credits and get their academics.
I have a question, Rochelle. Are the students that attend the class, are they there voluntarily on their own, or do you interface with law enforcement in the various counties?
So our kids come to us in multiple ways. So they might be on their way to an expulsion or suspension in their school for behaviors that aren't appropriate. They might have been on they might have gotten arrested, and you know, a judge is ordering them here or probation officer suggesting it. But the thing they all have in common is their academics are not where they should be, and drug and alcohol use, right? And it could be multiple. You know, it could be from just, you know, smoking marijuana consistently to using other substances. So it's a whole wide range of young people that come to us. Some with not very much understanding of how drugs and alcohol are affecting their lives, and some that have gone on to ongoing treatment or therapy that are coming back as more of a support versus needing to learn about it.
That's a great question, Gordon. Kent, our production manager, just passed me a question that he was thinking of as we're sitting here. And his question is, and I don't know the answer to this either, is it a residential? Do the students live there? Is it kind of like a boarding school, or do they come and go just like a normal, you know, regular high school where you just go to school and then go home at the end of the day? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are not a residential program. They come and go home every day. We do have transportation. It's limited. We don't go door to door, but we have two buses, a Northside bus that picks up all of our Northside kids, and then a bus that goes around the 465 loop. And, you know, we have 30 kids, and I would say probably 25 of them ride the bus. So we don't want transportation to be a reason why they can't get here. We just took, because right now we've had a quarantine issue, so our kids are in quarantine until Monday because of COVID. So my recovery team and I just spent the entire day yesterday taking donuts around to them. And some of those kiddos, I mean, it was all day. And some of those kiddos are on the bus for, you know, an hour. But they're committed to that because of the support and the safe environment that they feel here.
We need to take a break. When we come back, I want to, since you brought up COVID, we'll talk a little bit about that and how you manage and how that has kind of, the whole COVID thing has kind of impacted substance abuse in general. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action. We'll continue our conversation with Rochelle Gardner, Executive Director of Hope Academy. So stay tuned for more.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Across America, there are quiet heroes changing lives every day. When disaster strikes, they lend support. They give hope to those in need, warmth to the cold, and help to those society ignores. Over the past decade, they have given more than $1.5 billion and 700 million hours to charity. When it comes to making a difference, the Knights of Columbus are on the front lines. Become a knight and be the difference. Learn more at KOFC.org.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
I can't tell you, it's overwhelming how good I feel listening to it.
It is so good. You guys are such a blessing.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Kent Blanford's in the studio with me, as well as my co-host Gordon Smith, our new general manager here at Catholic Radio. So we're doing a show together, right, Gordon?
That's right, Bridget.
And we're talking with our guest, Rochelle Gardner. She's the executive director of Hope Academy, which is actually a free public Charter High School, helping teens who are struggling with and recovering from substance abuse. And I want to get into that question, Rochelle, about substance abuse. Are there known causes for substance abuse, does it vary by individual? Are there certain family situations or triggers or life experiences that cause people to turn to that? Or what's your take on that, given your wealth of experience with this?
Well, I think it's changed over time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, addiction is a disease. It's a brain-based disease, just like any other disease, diabetes, heart disease, that kind of thing. But when you're talking about young people, I really think you have to talk about, you know, how brain development plays a part in this. And young people just don't pick up alcohol and start drinking it because they know it's going to make them feel better, right? It's usually an experience that they've put themselves in because, you know, maybe they don't feel so great about themselves and they drink something or maybe smoke some marijuana. It makes them feel, oh, I feel really good and I can talk to my peers better, or the stress is gone or the anxiety is gone. And that becomes a coping mechanism. And when that becomes a consistent coping mechanism, then their brain changes. And it kind of rewires their brain to say, hey, when you feel this, you need this. And that's how addiction goes very quickly, how kids move along that addiction continuum very quickly from substance abuse to addiction. I would also say that there's a lot of misnomers around marijuana, and not the traditional marijuana that maybe some of the parents think it is, but this high-potency marijuana that is, you know, in a liquid form and an edible form that the kids are using in school because it happens in a vape. And the amount of THC in traditional weed was about 9 to 12%. The amount of THC that our kids are using now in this high potency is anywhere between 30 and 70%. And the physical aspects that it's taking on them and the causes of dependency are a lot greater. And there's a lot of misnomers about that. And, you know, that's for a whole other show probably. But so what happens is, you know, that's why kids, it becomes this coping mechanism for whatever it is, to have fun, to fit in, to alleviate mental health issues, whatever that is. And then it becomes part of just their makeup. And that's the only way they can function. And they get, you know, in large school districts, they can't necessarily give them the specialized care like we do because they've got, you know, thousands of other kids to worry about. And so they get left behind. And that's why Hope is here, is to bring those left behind in, to give them in the environment and the special support that we give them to kind of teach them some of those skills where they don't then need drugs or alcohol to.
So I'm curious,
get through that.
How many, how big is your student body typically? And then as a result of COVID, do you have more students now, or as a result of, you know, the shutdown, and maybe how has COVID like impacted just in general, based in your perspective of the, I guess, substance abuse?
So pre-COVID, you know, we had about 45 kids at any given time in our school. Where we served over 60 kids throughout the course of a school year. You know, kids come and go for multiple reasons. During COVID, when we originally had to shut down and we had to go completely virtual, you know, it was very difficult for engagement with our students. So we worked really hard that the next school year in July of 20, the summer, to figure out the best way that we were going to keep our kids safe from obviously the pandemic, but also give them the support that they needed. And so we created an environment where our kids were in school. Well, first they were in school every day, and then in October, I think we ended up having to move to more of a virtual as the pandemic ramped itself back up. But we did 3 days in school and 2 days on e-learning. And when I say e-learning, it's really my teachers creating a Zoom classroom and teaching the traditional classroom style with the kids at home in the Zoom classrooms. And that seemed to help, but certainly having them in the building. And what we did was we just created pods of kids so that those were the only kids they were around and the staff floated to them. So the first part of the day was academics. The second part of the day was all about recovery stuff. So we did fun things, we did educational things, we did community building things, all those pieces, because relationships are so important to our kids.
Absolutely.
And I will tell you that, you know, in the first semester, our kids, you know, we had 97% of the credits attempted earned. Okay, and that's huge, because our kids are typically earning 1 and 2 credits at their traditional schools. They're earning 6 and 7 credits when they come here. And a lot of it has to do with the small learning environment, the special teacher time, and the connections that they've made with each other and the recovery team. So what I would say is we're at 30 today. The traditional ways, like Gordon asked, of how our kids get to us, through schools, you know, if they weren't being seen in school. So, you know, the suspensions and expulsions weren't happening because no one knew where the kids were or what they were doing. The same with probation and the same with treatment. I mean, adolescent treatment is way down because of COVID. No one's really seeing them or a lot of virtual treatment programs that kids just don't do real well in. And so the parents just give up and don't do it. So I think as we open up, and as, you know, we have, you know, even speaking to you guys, letting people know that we're here, and we try to do as much in person as possible. Now we are in the middle of a quarantine. We'll be back on Monday, but I can tell you all the kids are excited to come back to school. They do not like being out. They do not like being around, you know, people that are supportive of them. So
if someone were listening, we've got about 10 minutes left or something around there. I'm curious if people were interested, someone's listening, they know someone has had substance abuse, a teen, how would they get connected or start the process of like maybe transferring to your school if they needed that help?
Sure. So there's a couple ways. They can give us a call at 317-572-9440, and someone will kind of talk them through, just tell us, you know, what's going on. Usually they'll get to me. They could go on our website, which is www.hopeacademyrhs.org, and there's a whole, you can ask a question, you can apply, and then we'll give you a call back. But typically what happens is once we make that initial connection, we'll bring the young person and their family, whatever that is, into the school, have a conversation around what's going on, how we can help them, give them a tour, introduce, it's usually a student-led tour, so that they can kind of feel it, see it, touch it. And I tell you that, you know, a lot of times the kids are like, oh, it's like real school. Yes, I want to be a part of this because it's small. Oh, they look just like me, you know, or parents say, oh, that's just like my kid. And so, you know, having those kind of experiences. So that's how someone would get involved here.
And people, like you said, it's pretty typical, I guess, what you're doing. But people say, oh, this is just like a regular high school. People might have an idea of what it is, you know, not knowing, not having that experience. And then they get there, it's like, yeah, this is really cool. This will work. I want to get to a couple of extra things that we talked to you about at the break. You said you had an event coming up, the Rise and Shine Breakfast. Give us the date and tell us what that's about. Is that like a fundraising thing? Is it just a community outreach? What exactly is that?
It's actually both.
Okay.
It is community outreach and it is a fundraiser. It is a breakfast. It'll be at Ivy Tech and their conference center. It is an hour long. It's a packed presentation. The Indy Chamber, Michael Hubler will be speaking. A student and his mother will speak about their experience. Doctors Tim Kelly and Becky Kelly, who are addictionologists who have been around a long time, are getting an award at our event. But it really is about, this is what we do. This is how we help this community. This is our role in the community. This is how we help students. And so it is on November 9th. It's at 7:30. And you can go on our website and register for that event.
I'm sure you have a ton of success stories and a ton of just really cool moments, you know, in all the years that you've worked there and seen so many students come through and improve and succeed in school and go on and succeed in life. We got about 3 minutes left. I'm just curious if you would like to share any story that just comes to mind or any moments that just really made you happy.
Well, I'll tell you, the best day at a recovery high school is graduation day. And so when you see these young people who have come from, you know, just journeys that we can't even imagine, and you see their families that, you know, did not think that they would be sitting there that day, did not think there was the hope of college, thought they would be dead, you know, and just the joy that is happening to them, it's pretty special. I mean, you know, with the small school, we only graduate six or seven kids at a time, and they each get to kind of live that as if they were the only one graduating that day. And the number of parents that come up to say, you know, you saved my child, you know, the gratitude and that kind of thing is pretty overwhelming and pretty powerful. And I would say the young people that work for me, you know, a couple of them, three of them have been actual students in the school and are on their way to nursing school, two are in nursing school, one's going on to be a forensic psychiatrist. You know, I mean, those things are amazing. And being able to always be here. You know, I have kids reach out to me that, you know, in maybe the second class of Hope Academy saying, I just wanted you to know, I just celebrated 90 days clean and sober, and I wouldn't have been able to be here without Hope Academy. I've had these things happen in my life, but, you know, the stories and the lessons I learned there are the things that have grounded me in my recovery. And those things are, I mean, that's what keeps me going. You know, I always tell people and my staff, it's all about the parable of the lost sheep, right? You know, I'm always going to go after the one that's missing, because they deserve to have what the 99 have. And that's kind of my leadership philosophy, and that's my philosophy for the school. And so if you have a child or you know somebody that's that one that's missing, we are the place for you to be able to help them.
That's such an inspiring story that you've shared with us. Could you give us the website one more time?
Sure. It's www.hopeacademyrhs.org.
As you said, Hope Academy is a beacon of light in the Indianapolis metro community. We're so glad that you could be with us. Our guest today has been Rachel Gardner, Executive Director of Hope Academy. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you very much for having me.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.